joy to be here with you. And I always enjoy coming down to the Lower Mainland to see friends. We're only about four and a half hours away, and yet sometimes jumping over the mountain isn't an easy task. I've kind of given up doing it in the wintertime. I don't like driving over that hill anymore. I've lost my nerve, I guess, or something. I don't know what it is. But it's a joy to be here at the second annual Baptist Friends. And so I know many are joining all over the world, Philippines, and I don't know where else. I'd be interested. I'm going to look forward to reading all the comments to see where you're listening in from. And I was just saying to, I think, Brother Raylevert and some others, it's amazing the technology we have today. You know, even think, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, for the average church to be able to broadcast like this would have been very expensive and really unattainable for many. And even during this time of COVID and pandemic and all this, you know, the catchwords we hear all the time, right? We're probably getting tired of hearing. You know, it's still wonderful that we can at least connect. And I've been able to listen to a lot of preaching from a lot of churches, from a lot of ministries, and I'm very, very thankful for it. Well, I don't want to take long this evening. I want to share with you a thought the Lord put upon my heart. Really, I guess it started in 2018. And I hope that this will be a blessing to you. I have a number of kind of introductory points, but really I want to draw down to the application and the lesson that the Lord, I guess, used to strengthen me during times that were difficult. I simply entitled this message, Deep Places. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5, if you would. Luke chapter number 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. And if my eyes dart from the camera, I was given strict instructions. Look at the camera. But that's difficult, and I'm going to do my best to try to accommodate that. But if I wander, it's because I'm having a squirrel moment, okay? And I'll be with you shortly. And so as you turn to Luke chapter number 5, I was just, again, just kind of sitting there singing and listening to the words of the songs. And I was reminded of a song that I certainly enjoy singing. And I believe it's very applicable to the thought I'd like to share with you this evening. It's the song, God Leads Us Along. It goes like this: in shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cold flow, bathe the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. And this is the chorus that the Lord reminded me of. He said, the chorus goes like this: some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. If you're anything like me, perhaps you have wondered at times concerning the Lord's working in your life. You can't, I mean, I don't mean in a negative way, like you're questioning God. I just mean maybe you sit during your quiet time with the Lord and you look at the circumstances that are going on around you, and you maybe ask yourself the question, Lord, what is it that you're trying to teach me? One of the things my wife and I do, especially when we go through difficult times and trying times, we've been studying at Okanagan Valley Baptist Church a series through the life of Joseph entitled Thriving in Adversity. You know, many times we have the idea that we just simply have to kind of grit our teeth and just kind of muscle through the adversities and the trials we have. And yet we see in Joseph's life, he didn't just kind of grin and bear it. He actually thrived in that adversity. And God used those trials. He used the difficult circumstances and situations of Joseph's life and produced in him a sweetness and a kindness and a steadfastness that we still look back and we look at the life of Joseph and go, wow, look at what God did through the life of Joseph. I was reminded of Peter. Peter, a fiery fisherman. Peter was one of those guys, you know, where he spoke and thought about the consequences later. He was the guy that would put his foot in his mouth, you know, the old proverbial saying. But I'd like to take just a few moments this evening, and I want to look at the life of Peter and really a time in Peter's life that dramatically changed his course. Where we read of Peter being kind of that crass, kind of hard-working, tradesmen, fishermen, and a situation that occurred where when we come to verse number 11, the Bible says that they forsook all and followed him. What was it? What happened in Peter's life? What lessons did he learn here in Luke chapter 5 that I believe dramatically altered Peter's life? Let's pick up reading here and want to give you a number of thoughts by way of introduction and then really kind of hammer home some of the lessons I believe Peter recognized at this encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all, and followed him. I want you to notice, just as we kind of put this into a bit of context, that the Lord was about to request of Peter a very unusual request, something that in Peter's mind didn't make any sense. It didn't follow what he thought would be great wisdom in fishing. But notice in verse number 1, and if you're in the habit of taking notes, I want you to notice a dedicated work that was going on. Jesus is standing here, and I love this phrase, and boy, a whole message can be preached on this. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, we see that Jesus is teaching the multitudes here, and they had great earnest to hear the word of God. I hope that's our desire tonight. I mean, they pressed upon him, so much so that he launched out just a little bit and began to teach and to preach, and this was a dedicated work, and that Jesus was teaching the multitudes, and Jesus had many listeners, and may we have that zeal. And boy, we could stop right there and really just bathe in that thought of the earnestness and the fervency of these people to hear the word of God, because I believe, much like the prophet, that we have a famine of the word of God today. Especially among listeners, you know, it's interesting that many are looking for less church, not more church, less preaching, not more preaching. But these were a group of people that were, they were eager and listening to the word of God. We read that he takes this little ship and he thrusts out a little bit from land, and it was Simon Peter's ship. I want you to understand that Peter here had a very discouraging work. Picking up in verse number 2, we find that these two ships standing by the lake, they were washing their nets. Verse number 4, the command comes from the Lord, and Simon Peter's answer in verse number 5 shows a bit of the discouragement that was in the heart of Peter. He says that we've toiled all night, we've taken nothing. Have you ever felt that way as you work? Have you ever felt that way even in the Lord's work? That's why I'm thankful for Baptist friends. I'm thankful for having friends in the ministry that we can bounce ideas off, we can talk to, we can kind of level with, because at times it can be discouraging. At times you go, you just... Well, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'll tell them myself. That you feel like you're just kind of bouncing your head up against the wall sometimes. You know, like Paul, you're kicking against the bricks, you know. It just seems like, man, you're making headway, and then, something happens. You know, we were so excited in our bus ministry. We had a high just before all of this virus stuff. We had 47 riders on our bus. We had 50 kids down in our children's ministry. We were excited. It was great. And then 2 weeks later, it was like, shut her down. And I just went, oy, 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 wow. I mean, just when you start to have momentum and then it can be discouraging. That's where Peter was. We find that it was a hard night for him. He toiled all night. That was hard work. This is just simply where Peter was. He said, Lord, we've toiled. It's been hard. We're washing our nets. We just kind of want to go to bed, you know. We just kind of want to rest. We want to sit back. And can I encourage you in this as we get into the application? I believe that it is not the time to sit back or to relax. I believe it's time to continue to press forward and maybe with a renewed alacrity to confront the world, the flesh, and the devil and stand for the truth of the Word of God. But it was a hard night for them. It was a long night. They toiled all night. Now, I'm here to tell you, I don't know about you, God bless all of these healthcare workers and people that can do a night shift. I'll tell you what, I did night shift for 2 months. I went to my boss. I said, either the shift change or I change, because I can't do a night shift. I around 9 o'clock, I start turning into a pumpkin. You know, I get tired and things start shutting down. But they had toiled all night and they had nothing. And it was a fruitless night. I mean, it's one thing to work hard all night and to have something to show for it. But they toiled all night and had nothing. This is kind of where Peter was. And may I remind you of something? That this is always the result when we work without God. When we try to accomplish something in the flesh, it's very short. But you know what? I'm so glad for the theme that God is enough. And anyway, that's not the message. But then we come down in verse number 4, and I want you to notice this, that the Lord Jesus gives them a declared work. And we can spend a lot of time here. And great messages and thoughts have been preached. Jesus told them to launch out, to do something, to kind of get back into the ship that they were just kind of cleaning up and ready to go. And now they were ready to launch out. Jesus said, I want you to go. Launch out there. They were told to go, to stop what they were doing and to head out into the deep waters. We see that they were told to go into a deep. They were told to go to a specific place, not only to accomplish a specific task to launch out, but it was to a specific place, and that was into the deep. And again, I don't want to pause here, and yet it's worth noting that this would have been very contrary to the understanding of what Peter wanted to do. It would have been completely contrary to what wisdom was. I read this thought. Peter must have been surprised when Jesus took command of the ship and its crew. After all, Jesus was a carpenter by trade, and what do carpenters know about fishing? It was a well-known fact that in the Sea of Galilee, you caught fish at night in shallow water, not in the daytime in deep water. What Jesus asked Peter to do was contrary to all of his training and all of his experience, but here's the key I want you to understand, but Peter obeyed. The key was his faith in the Word of God, nevertheless, at thy word. He was told to let down his nets. The Lord Jesus knew something was going to happen, and Peter obeyed. He went, he let down, and yeah, I don't mean to be trivial, but it's interesting. He let down the net, and Jesus said, let down the nets, and, you know, listened to messages even on that. You know, Peter obeyed, but he still, you know, Lord, help thou mine unbelief, right? We see verse number 5 that it was a bit of a disparaging word. He obeyed. But really, this is what I want you to understand, and really the thrust of what I want you to see from our text begins in really verse number 6. So understanding what was going on, Peter was there, he was washing the nets as Jesus was teaching. Jesus takes command of the ship and begins to teach the multitudes. At the close of that, he tells Peter, I want you to launch out into the deep, let down your nets. And Peter said, well, it doesn't make much sense. I'm tired, I'm discouraged, I kind of would just like to, you know, maybe call it a night. That's why they were washing their nets. In their mind, the work was over. But Jesus had other plans. And something happened here that changed the course of Peter's life. This wasn't a result of Peter's great righteousness. It wasn't even his great obedience. And we read that he didn't let down nets. He let down a net. But Peter simply obeyed. And God showed him something. And I believe that through this simple act of obedience, Peter learned a number of lessons. And a deeper work began in the heart of Peter. And really, this is what I want you to understand this evening. This is what Peter saw. And can I just reverse that as we think about it? And this is what Peter would have missed had he not followed Jesus' command to go into the deep places. To go somewhere where it didn't make sense, but he was simply going. This is what he saw, and conversely, this is what he would have missed had he not simply exercised a simple obedience. I want you to remember, as you follow the Lord into these deep places, these places that, in our mind, why a virus at this time? Maybe some of you, you're going, man, we were just on the cusp, and now it seems like, man, we're set back. You know, you just were on the verge of something great. Why, Lord, why go into the deep place now? This is what Peter saw. I want you to understand that as the Lord leads you into the deep places, this is what Peter learned. In the deep places, you will see God's power. In the deep places, you will see God's power. Look at verse number 5, verse 6. And when they had done this, when they had simply exercised a simple obedience in what Jesus said, they saw something that the Bible says that they were astonished when they saw it happen. I mean, it was one of those things that they couldn't believe. If they weren't there, they would have called them liars, right? Are all fishermen liars, or do only liars fish, right? This would have been told. They were astonished at what they saw. But because he simply obeyed, they saw the power of God. I want you to see, they saw his creative power. They worked all night. There was nothing there. But at the word of Jesus Christ, I want you to see, I really believe that they saw his creative power. Listen, the fish weren't there a moment ago. They toiled all night long. And then they catch not just an average catch, not just an above average catch. They caught so many fish that their net began to break and their ships began to sink. I mean, that's something only God can do. That's something that that only an almighty creator can make occur. And Peter witnessed the awesome creative power of God, not because of who Peter was, but because he simply chose to follow into the deep places. He would have missed this. I want you to understand that not only did they see his creative power, I want you to see they saw his wondrous power. This was beyond belief. It was astonishing. It was wonderful. So much so that even though the net break, I mean, they were pulling ships out of everywhere to load it up. It was a wondrous power. If you have your Bibles, hold your place here. Put a piece of bubble gum or a ribbon or a bookmark or something in there. And turn with me over to the book of Psalms, if you would. I want you to see this in the book of Psalms in chapter 107. In Psalms chapter number 107, because they followed, they saw God's wondrous power. Look what the psalmist David says here, picking up in verse number 21. He says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." And listen to what he says. "They that go down to the sea in the ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep." Good. It's an amazing thought as Peter followed out into the deep places. He didn't fully understand, but he saw God's wonders in the deep. God brings us to places that we don't understand sometimes. And I believe if we simply are obedient, we'll begin to see not only God make something from nothing, but you'll see his wondrous power. Can I encourage you in this? That I believe we will never really see God's power if we're afraid of the deep waters. Isn't that what David said? He said, "This is the Lord's doing. It is what marvelous in our eyes." You see, I'm afraid so many times we play in the shallow end of the pool. And we're afraid to go a little bit deep. We're afraid to maybe just follow where the Lord is leading. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. I want to remind you of this. Without the waves, you'll never see the wonders. Without just stepping out and trusting, this is what Peter would have missed. Peter would have missed seeing this wonderful work of God. We have a little pool in Vernon. It's called the Peanut Pool. It's shaped like a little peanut, but it's only about ankle deep. And, you know, kids go in there and splash away, and they have a good time. They cool off. But, you know, we look at that as adults, and we go, oh, that's cute. It's almost childish. And yet I'm afraid most Christian men and women spend their entire Christian life playing in the peanut pool rather than trusting God in the deep places. They saw his creative power. They saw his wondrous power. I want you to see this. They saw his exceeding power. You see, it would have been something if God gave them a draught of fishes. But he gave them such a draught that nets break and boats sank. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23, the Bible says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all things." Listen, is God enough? Absolutely. They saw his wondrous power, his exceeding power. And my friends, this is what we have in Jesus Christ today.
Right.
That's who we are in Christ.
Good.
It wasn't Peter. It's what Jesus did.
Amen.
Peter just got to partake because he wasn't afraid of deep waters. I want you to see a second lesson Peter learned. Not only in the deep places will you see the power of God, but I believe in the deep places you'll know the blessings of God. We can accomplish a lot through planning, and you ought to plan. You can do a lot and just your own intellect, your own might. You know, I fear so many times, and I have to be so careful of this, that even as pastors, we can become great CEOs, but we forget that it's not about managing as a CEO, but pastoring a people. You see, I want you to understand when the Lord leads us into the deep places, I believe it is then that we begin to really appreciate and see the blessings of God. I want you to notice in our text again that these were abundant blessings. I mean, imagine this. The blessing that Jesus had in store for Peter was so abundant that they were astonished. It was so great that it took two ships to bring in the catch. I mean, what Peter did on his own was discouraging and empty and vain and void. But what the Lord Jesus Christ did through Peter was astonishing and abundant. You know, when we step into the deep places and we begin to lay aside what our abilities are, and we trust in what God said he is able to do through us, we begin to see God's abundant blessings. I love the song, "There shall be showers of blessings." I'm afraid sometimes we settle for the sprinkling of blessings. I want you to see not only were these blessings abundant, but I want you to understand that what Peter saw was a sustaining blessing. This was his livelihood, remember? This is what he would have used to feed his family, to make the money that was needed to, you know, live another day, live another week. This catch, we don't know what happened to it. We know that immediately after they forsook all and followed him, I'd imagine that included the fish. But maybe his family took that catch and took it to the marketplace. And I just want you to understand that this, I believe, would have sustained Peter physically and his family. But what it did for him spiritually was absolutely incredible. You see, aren't you glad? And it rejoices my heart that when we get in over our heads, that we are trusting the one who walks on water. And the blessings that we receive not only are just for the here and now, but I believe they're sustaining because it buoys up our soul when our hearts are overwhelmed. I want you to see that he saw the abundant blessings, he saw the sustaining blessings, but I want you to see he saw these miraculous blessings. What an incredible to be there that day, to see that catch come in would have been absolutely miraculous. And Peter would have missed it had he not been willing to follow into the deep places. I want you to see, I believe, in my mind, even greater than seeing the power of God and seeing his blessings, those things were material, those something that would have been wonderful, but this is kind of the theme of the conference, and this is what the Lord kind of impressed upon my heart. You see, Peter just didn't go back the next day and go back fishing. You see, in the deep places, you will know God's presence. It wasn't the fish. It wasn't the boats. It wasn't the broken net. We read Peter's reaction there in Luke chapter number 5. Verse number 8, and when Simon Peter saw it, he shouted for joy, "Look at the fish I've caught, everyone!" No, look what it says. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. You see, it no longer became about the fish. It no longer came about these, I mean, they were great and it was astonishing, but he recognized something about the presence of Christ in this picture. And it changed his entire focus. It has been said that revival is not so much about something as it is about someone. And we must understand today, child of God, that the blessings are empty without the blesser and the gifts are vain without the giver. We can have all the blessings in the world, but if we miss the one to whom they are given to us, then we've missed it. We've missed the point. All of this wasn't so that Peter would simply have the fish or to declare the experience. He understood something about Jesus Christ that day. And he fell down at Jesus' knees and he began to worship the living Word of God. God's presence, I want you to understand, when we get around God's presence, it brings understanding. Look at verse number 8. And when Simon Peter saw it, look at what he understood. He said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You see, when we get into the presence of God, I believe we begin to see God's holiness. We begin to see the Lord as Isaiah saw him, high and lifted up. Jesus accepted the worship of Peter because he was God manifested in the flesh. You see, the most wonderful thing about the deep places is he recognized who Jesus Christ was. Isn't it amazing when we get onto the deep places, we begin to see God work? When we turn and we give thanks and we rejoice, and the world looks and says, "What is your problem? Look at what's going on. How do you find any rejoicing in the circumstances?" Because we know the one who holds the future. We know the one that is over all of the circumstances, because nothing ever occurred to God. Nothing ever took him by surprise. Not only do we begin to see his holiness, it begins to change us, but I believe we begin to see our own sinfulness. He says here, he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." He saw and he recognized God's holiness, and I believe we begin to see our own sinfulness. And when we grasp the full holiness and greatness of God, I believe we begin to see ourselves in the right light. But he saw and he understood the presence of the one who gave this command in the deep places. I want you to understand something else, that God's presence brings rejoicing. Turn back with me to Psalms. Maybe I should have told you to hold your place there. If you didn't, it'll be a good sword drill anyway. Psalms chapter 107. I want you to notice something in Psalms chapter 107 again. He says, "They that go down to the sea in the ships," verse 23, "that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep." And I want you to notice where these waves and where this trouble came from. Look what he says. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again into the depths. We read that these that are going through this, their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. And they are at, and we use the expression, they're at their wit's end. But this trouble that David describes here, it was a divine trouble. The Lord caused the storm. The Lord brought the waves. The Lord caused this situation to occur. But why? What would be the purpose of all of this? Then look at verse number 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. It was a divine trouble, and God brought a divine deliverance. You see, we go through troubled waters at times, and we find ourselves in the deep places. It didn't occur to God. It didn't take him by surprise. And yet we read that there's a divine rejoicing in verse number 30. Then are they glad because they be quiet. And so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Verse number 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You see, the third thing I see as we enter into the deep places that we begin to see the presence of God, we learn that God's presence then is always enough. We learn that even in the deep places, I wrote this in my notes, whether it be through a pandemic, a ministry low, a personal struggle, we find that God's presence is always enough. I want you to understand that God is enough to bring blessing from the impossible, understanding in ignorance, power in weakness, and grace in time of need. Oswald Chambers said it like this: peace is not the absence of troubles, it is the presence of God. You know, I thought about this, and I understand maybe it's not taking into the full grasp the omniscience of God, but Lord used a situation in my life to really bring a peace into my own heart. We had never visited the ocean before. Well, 3 years ago was our first visit. Never seen the... I'm an interior guy. We do lakes and rivers and creeks. Never saw the ocean. We took a trip, saw the Pacific Ocean for the very first time. Not only that, we were able to go in and we were able to swim a little bit. I was astonished at the waves. Like, it was pretty... I mean, we didn't have to go out very far and the waves would come in and you can jump up, right? And you let the waves kind of push you out. Well, I let all four of my kids into the ocean. And they were playing away, and I had some that were my little ones. They were playing in the shallow end. But of course, I got two boys who like to try to push the limits. And I'm kind of a nervous Ned when it comes to this sort of stuff. I've learned enough about my boys that, you know, wherever the line is, they try to push it over here just a little bit, trying to scare Dad. So as they went deeper out, you know what I found myself doing? Keeping a closer eye on them. I wasn't so concerned about the ones playing in the shallow. I mean, I knew not much could happen there. I could easily get in there and rescue them. But the deeper my children went, the closer I watched them. And I couldn't help but think of my Heavenly Father. As I trust Him going out into the deep places, and I understand He is perfectly omniscient, but I couldn't help but think that He watches those of His children that are willing just to trust Him a little bit deeper, maybe a little bit more closely. And it helped just put into perspective that the deeper I go, His eye is always upon me. Lastly, let me give you this. In the deep places, I believe then we'll begin to understand God's will for our life. I read this here in Luke chapter number 5 again, and we come down into verse number 10. And the Bible says, "And so was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought all their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You see, when he got out into the deep places, he saw the power of God, the blessings of God. He understood the presence of God. And you know what? He then understood the will of God for his life. He said, this is what the Lord would have for him. He became a fisher of men. He no longer caught fish. And from this point on, yes, Peter had his struggles, right? He denied Christ. He had his ups and downs. But this, from this point on, he was named among one of those disciples. And his passion for the Lord Jesus Christ was summed up. He said, I'll die with you. The Lord Jesus corrected him. He said, well, the Lord's going to tempt you. And he's going to, Satan's going to desire to sift you like wheat, excuse me. But this forever changed Peter's life. And he would have missed it had he not simply trusted in the deep places. God gave him a given commission. We can look much at this. But in all of this, he had a deeper walk. He forsook all. They forsook family, livelihood. And they said, if God can do that, he can do anything. God is enough for me. And he followed on. My friends, are we still playing in the shallow end? When God is perhaps calling us into the deep places, maybe you say, Pastor Allen, I am in the deep places. Then look around. Because I believe that we could be in for something just as incredible as what Peter witnessed. Power of God, blessings of God, presence of God. He might lead you into a direction that had you stayed in the shallow end, you very well could have missed. What today is holding you back from a full surrender to what God would have you to do? Is it because you want to play in the peanut pool? Or are we ready to trust God in the deep places? We're in deep places in many, many situations. I mean, some, I was talking, I mean, they're praying for buildings. They're praying that, I mean, boy, are ministries that are just completely revamping. I've been sharing with my friends here, if I can plan a week ahead, I feel I'm doing pretty well. Good. Something changes the week next, and then I'm like, well, there goes that plan. But you may right now find yourself in the deep places. Don't despair. Because we will experience the wonders of God's working in the deep. I hope today that your testimony is this, that God is enough, even in the deep places.